Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. The Business of Government Hour is produced by the IBM Center for the Business of Government, which was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. And now, the Business of Government Hour.
Welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host and editor of the Business of Government magazine. As a nation, we are faced with pervasive cyber threats, malicious actors motivated for a variety of reasons that include espionage, ideological beliefs, and financial gain, have the potential to wreak havoc on our way of life. Faced with such an environment, it becomes critically important for businesses to have secure cyber infrastructure that inspires technological innovation and fosters economic growth. The National Cybersecurity Center of Excellence, the NCCOE, at the National Institute of Standards and Technology, addresses some of businesses' most pressing cybersecurity problems with practical standards-based solutions using commercially available technologies. The NCCOE collaborates with experts from industry, government, and academia to build modular, open, end-to-end reference designs that are broadly applicable and repeatable. What are the NCCOE's strategic priorities? How does it accelerate the deployment and use of secure, standard-based technologies? What are some of the cybersecurity challenges facing business today? We will explore these questions and so much more with our very special guest, Nate Lesser, Deputy Director of the National Cybersecurity Center of Excellence. Also joining us today is John Lanehart, Cyber Fellow Emeritus with the IBM Center for the Business of Government. Nate, welcome to the show. It's great to have you.
Thanks for having me here. I'm excited to do this.
John, welcome back.
Well, thank you. Well, appreciate it, Michael.
So, Nate, would you elaborate on the history and mission of the National Cybersecurity Center of Excellence?
Sure. NCCOE, or the National Cybersecurity Center of Excellence, was created as a part of NIST, the National Institute of Standards and Technology, which is an organization that has been the premier metrology lab in the United States for the last 115 years. We were created out of the NIST cybersecurity program. There was a recognition that that was being picked up and used in a much broader audience. We found that organizations in critical infrastructure and everyone from large retailers to utilities and hospitals were taking the NIST cybersecurity work and using it, repackaging it, and using it for their own mission. Because of that, a few years ago, the end of 2012, NIST established the National Cybersecurity Center of Excellence out of the recognition that there's more we could do to make the marketplace more efficient, to help move standards and best practices into greater adoption across the community as a whole, and to help take technologies that are out there and available but aren't being used as widely as they could be, that meet those standards and best practices and will help broaden the base of security across really the entire U.S. economy.
So it's such an important mission operationally. How is the center organized? What's the size of your budget, number of folks, and the core functions that you perform?
Right. So as I mentioned, the NCCOE is a part of NIST. It's a part of the IT laboratory at NIST. Okay. So NIST is broken up into different laboratories. And as a metrology and standards laboratory, NIST really focuses on core science in a lot of places. And the advent and advancement of the science of cybersecurity is something that NIST has been a very active participant in. Within the IT laboratory, we now have two divisions. One of them is the computer security division, which has existed for quite some time under different names, but going back to the early days of the data encryption standard, and then the recently created and new Applied Cybersecurity Division, which we are a part of. Within that space, we focus on, as I mentioned before, the adoption of standards and best practices and helping industry to really figure out the how the industry can go about using, if we think of the what, the standards and best practices as the what of the cybersecurity community should be doing, we're the how. How do you get there? What's that last mile? At the center, we're structured in an interesting way. So we have a small team of about a dozen federal staff, which is augmented by a federally funded research and development center, the first dedicated to cybersecurity of the 40 FFRDCs, federally funded research and development centers in the country. It's really the easiest way to think of us is the Cybersecurity National Lab.
Nate, what are the specific responsibilities and duties that you perform as the Deputy Director of NCCOE? And, you know, what's under your purview?
Well, so my responsibilities kind of fall into three buckets. Really, it's the engagement with our stakeholder community, and that's trying to understand from the technology-consuming community the challenges that they're facing, whether that's sector verticals like healthcare, financial services, energy companies, retail, hospitality, law enforcement. Part B is collaboration with our technology companies. So I'm really responsible for the continued work and maintenance of those relationships. Our partners and contributors add a tremendous amount of value to NCCOE projects, and I hope I have a chance to kind of highlight some of those things in this discussion. But it's really bringing their technology and their expertise to bear on the challenges that we've identified through our relationships with the stakeholder community. And then the third is, of course, management and oversight of day-to-day operations at the center, including the engineering program there.
So what are your top, say, three management challenges that you face in your position? How have you sought to address those challenges?
So it's a great question. I think as any new organization, we have an inherent set of challenges, and many of those are also opportunities. Some of those exist just by virtue of us being new and a little bit different. We found a number of good avenues for attempting to achieve that. I wouldn't say we've gotten there yet, but a lot of the support and creativity from senior officials within NIST, within our organization, from our lawyers and support staff, a good example would be the Technology Partnership Office, which manages our collaborative research and development agreements. Those are agreements that often take 18 months to get signed. At the center, and our first one did, I'll admit, but at the center we've now figured out with the partnership of that office and a lot of creativity from the lawyers how to get those down to a month. So that's a much faster churn. Another challenge is ensuring that the center has access to the right pool of talent to address what is admittedly a very broad mission. How do we increase cybersecurity adoption across the entire sector, entire U.S. economy, all sectors of the U.S. economy? So it's fairly broad. And in order to address that mission, we really need high-quality engineering talent at the center all the time to address very, very narrow and specific sometimes technical areas. To do that, we kind of tackle it in three parts. So we have this incredible group of highly accomplished and dedicated federal engineering leads. They're experts who manage a portfolio of projects, each one of them, and they have the technical depth to both lead in a room full of engineers and to be able to communicate with stakeholders and collaborators directly. We also have the FFRDC that I mentioned before. That's that federally funded research and development center, which is really a flexible resource that allows us to bring the right skill set to the table at the right time for every individual technical challenge. And it allows us to do that without any concerns about organizational conflict of interest. And the last of a way that we try and address the real talent challenge is around collaboration. It's being a space where the entire community can come together. I would say the third one is one that I like to talk about, and that's participation from the technology vendor community. It's turned out to not be as much of a challenge as I expected. And in truth, when you think about it, we don't endorse the products that we use at the center. We don't endorse the companies that work with us. Our collaborators and partners see value in this, and that's why they participate. But I expected, when I took this job, most of it to be out pounding the pavement, trying to sell people on the idea of the center. As it turns out, and in retrospect, probably not all that surprisingly, the companies that we work with immediately recognize the value because they are much more savvy at conducting that benefit-cost analysis than we are. They look at it and they say, well, the cost of participation, that's very low. And in many cases, it's, you know, a few hours of our time, and it allows us to take people who work on our staff and give them this sort of rotational opportunity to spend time at the center. It allows our thought leadership to get out into the world. And it costs us a seat of our technology, one of the, you know, licenses to our software or one of our products. But the benefit is being able to collaborate and really drive forward a vision of a more secure cyberspace in various different sectors across various different technical challenges. And so that's pretty exciting. Again, I thought that was going to be a lot of work to convince people. It turns out not so much.
Okay, Nate, along with the challenges that you've encountered, You must have had some surprises, some unanticipated activities that have occurred. Could you just discuss, you know, one of the surprises that has been a challenge for you in your current role?
Sure. So I think I wasn't prepared for the extent to which there's a really massive and largely unaddressed appetite from the cybersecurity community to build this collaborative home, this space that is, I was talking about a little bit before, but to take it a step further, this space that's really sort of pre-competitive in a lot of ways, right? So we tend to think of technology companies, like most others, as competing with one another and competing for the same customers and oftentimes in the same ways. But the recognition that the bad guys collaborate and do a really good job of collaborating is not one that we came up with on our own and said, oh, so then let's build this center and convince people to do it. Everybody had this realization. Everybody recognized the proliferation of commodity attack tools and the fact that they're out there and available, the fact that you can call up and get 24/7 customer support for tools for identity theft that you've bought on the dark web. You can do that today, and we need to get better at collaborating in those places where it makes business sense. And lo and behold, there are quite a few of them. So building the country's first and only national lab dedicated to cybersecurity, building a physical space that we now have with the 23 labs that we have operating there, and the over 80 companies, technology partners, and collaborators who are working with us, is something that shouldn't have been achievable, frankly, on our budget. We're a small entity, and I think it really wouldn't have been were it not for that intense recognition from the cybersecurity community as a whole that this was a gap and something we needed to fill.
You know, given your background and experience in both the private and now in the public sector, how would you compare and contrast some of the management skills you need in either sector? But more importantly, really, what I really would like for you to talk about is sort of the leadership traits that are the most effective.
Okay. Well, so I think in the public sector, one of the challenges is remembering that you exist inside and in service of a much greater whole. So when it comes to achieving, I think, your individual mission within the public sector, it's important not to get lost. It can be easy to fall prey to this sort of myopic view of what your mission is and where the approaching achieving your mission can become orthogonal to that of the broader organizational goals. So in our case, I try to evaluate every new initiative that comes across my desk, both on its technical and programmatic merit, which is, of course, the core of what we do, but also on how it can advance the ITL, the Information Technology Laboratory, the NIST, and the Commerce Mission as well. You have to have that grit, that dogged sort of determination to maintain focus on where you want to go. If you're leading a business, if you're leading a company, without that, you're going to get off course pretty easily. But at the same time, you have to be flexible enough to pivot to where your customers are and to constantly adding value for them.
What are the NCCOE's strategic priorities? We will ask its deputy director, Nate Lesser, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.